the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by.
Welcome to the February 3rd, 2011 radio podcast of Education Now. I am your host, Athena Melville. Tonight we feature part one of an address by Dr. Stephen Krashen. Dr. Stephen Krashen is a professor emeritus at the University of Southern California. He has written numerous books on his research into literacy and language acquisition. Dr. Krashen gave this address during a symposium at Mary Collins Charter School in Petaluma, California, on January 29th of this year. Dr. Krashen covered reading, writing, poverty, libraries, skills, tests, and an added comment on the bogus, his term, STEM crisis. In this first part, we hear him speak to the issue of reading and writing, as well as the use of rewards. He was introduced to the participants of roughly 150 by librarian Connie Williams. Now let's get right into part one of Dr. Stephen Krashen's address. Stephen Krashen is an outspoken advocate for teachers and the benefit of children. Remember, you can always send comments and or questions to me at hermes@pacific.net, or please link to us from our Facebook page. Now, here we go.
Hi, I'm Connie Williams. I'm the teacher librarian at Petaluma High School, and I decided to do a little research about Dr. Stephen Krashen today. So I did what any self-respecting librarian would do. I Googled him. The results brought up 43,000 hits. Now, if I were a typical researcher, and I am, I would probably stop at the top 10 and figure that that was good, but I decided 43,000. So I clicked on page 5, and there he was still. Valid sites there. Page 25, still going good. 45, doing well. It was long about page 50 that I got to a link to his Facebook page. So I immediately had to go off and log back into my Facebook page and try to friend him, which I got the response back. So I friended him on Facebook. So the search, however, stopped at page 60 with the notice that to continue on might take more time than I actually had. But in doing these searches, each page, you know, brings up 10 to 25 hits, if not more. And the phrases that kept coming on: comprehensible input, bilingual education, poverty, children, reading for pleasure, the importance of libraries with librarians and staff to run them, those were all words that connected directly to Dr. Stephen Krashen. Dr. Krashen, professor emeritus from USC, winner of numerous awards for his writing, has had a long and impressive career researching language, reading, and learning. His research shows that providing children and young adults access to a large selection of high-quality, high-interest books and media increases student reading levels as well as their interests, that poverty and lack of access to books is at the core of reading problems. I didn't really need to Google Dr. Krashen. He's been my hero for many years. He's a relentless researcher, writer of letters, and an advocate for children, for strong school libraries, strong learners, and common sense approaches to teaching and learning. So it is with great pleasure that I introduce Dr. Stephen Krashen.
Thank you, Connie. Oh my. Let's get to the most important issue today, the controversial one. What about breaks? as I mentioned, I can't go 2 hours. The reason I can't go 2 hours is that I'm a night person. Now, there is the connection. And there's a paper in there that they forgot to include, which gives you the whole reason for it. But I'll tell you about it. I'll send you a copy if you want. Night people, like half of us, how many of you are night people? Half? How about that? Yeah? We're not a minority. It's half. It's not a disease. It's not a disorder. It's real. You need us, otherwise there'd be no one to guard the campfire. Right? Anyway, night people like me become addicted to coffee, right? I'm not supposed to have much coffee anymore because of acid reflux. People my age all have vitamin D deficiencies, adult onset diabetes, isn't that right? All of us. They don't even test you. They just say, here's what you got. And you have acid reflux. All of us do. So I'm supposed to cut down on coffee. I'm not convinced. Because here's the data. All right. Acid reflux leads to another syndrome, which leads to esophageal cancer. Very remote, very remote chance. But coffee prevents esophageal cancer. Aha! So there. All right. If you look hard enough, you'll find what you want in the research. Anyway, coffee, which is how I do my research on coffee, not acquisition of language, right? Coffee needs to be recycled, right? So there will be a chance for us to engage in output activities through the morning as necessary. I'll know when you're ready, right? So I went to the doctor last week. He told me my blood type was Starbucks. Serious trouble. Well, today is going to start out as a kind of pedagogical presentation about reading and writing, and it's going to wind up as a heavy political presentation. There's a new sheriff in town. I don't care what I say anymore. This is great. Completely unmonitored. I talked to my son about this in my new political activities, and he says, Dad, you're retired now. You're emeritus. That means you're 007. You're licensed to kill. They can't touch you. So this is going to end up as a strong condemnation of the Arne Duncan, Barack Obama administration in education. I still have my Barack Obama bumper sticker on the car in Hebrew. I delivered the Jewish vote. All right, they owe me. All right, but if you made a list of all the things you should do to destroy American education, it would come out pretty well. The Arne Duncan administration, which is unprecedented in its ignorance. But I'll get to that, okay? All right, we're going to talk about reading and writing first, and you do have a handout, I hope, yes? It says reading, writing, poverty, library skills, SELLs, and a comment on the bogus STEM crisis, this crazy idea that we're running out of people who are trained in technology, which is absolutely not true. Something like 5% of the new jobs require technology, and there are 3 qualified applicants for every position. There is a surplus. You know the engineers. They'll tell you. They're all looking for work. Okay, what has dominated my life in the last, 40 years or so, has been one hypothesis. And it says that we acquire language when we understand it. It's called the comprehension hypothesis. So if I speak to you in another language and I can help you understand what I'm saying, you're acquiring the language. The brain automatically goes to the business of acquiring the language. You get the grammar, you get the vocabulary, you even get the pronunciation. All that stuff comes from listening and understanding, and of course, from reading and understanding as well. The application of this to literacy happened to me in the mid-1980s. Okay, the idea is, we acquire language when we understand it. And the application of this to literacy came to me in the 1980s when I was giving a talk in Texas, in San Antonio, and I went to the bookstore and I bought a copy of Reading Without Nonsense. Frank Smith. Oh my gosh. I read it in one sitting and I found my entire theory right there, everything. Coming from a completely different direction, so we had triangulation. Oh my God, and it was much better expressed than I ever did. I thought it was a marvelous book. And that pushed me to the work of Kenneth Goodman. It pushed me to other people's work and got me involved in free voluntary reading. And the conclusion I've come to after writing papers, articles, books, and doing studies over the years is that reading itself is the way people acquire literate language. And there's one kind of reading that helps more than any other. And it's the kind that you did last night before you went to sleep. How many of you read last night before you went to sleep? Wow. How many of you, like me, read last night even though you shouldn't have? It was too late. This is addiction, okay? I read a Superman comic book, which nice people here at Mary Collins got me. It was really interesting, my goodness, as well as other things. And this one kind of reading that helps more than any other, of course, thank you, is the kind of reading we all do obsessively. It's called free voluntary reading, reading because you want to. No questions at the end of the chapter. You don't like the book, you put it down, you pick up another one. The same kind of reading you and I do all the time. Now, I don't want to oversell this. I don't want to say if kids all start reading, they're all going to go on to Berkeley and get master's degrees. That may or may not help. May or may not happen. But if they're going to read, they start reading, they're going to be okay. And if they don't start reading, they're not going to be okay. My conjecture, I don't have the hard data on this, but I think it's true, is that if a student develops a free reading habit, that student will have a hard time scoring below the 50th percentile on any standardized test of literacy. If the student doesn't have a reading habit, they'll have a hard time scoring above the 50th percentile. We think now that reading for pleasure, free voluntary reading, is the cause of our reading ability, our writing style, most of our educated vocabulary, our ability to handle complex grammatical construction, and not all, but most of our spelling ability. This is where it comes from. The evidence for this comes from several sources, and I briefly want to mention, too, it's all over the place. It's in my books and papers. Let me talk about the books and papers. It's becoming clear to me that the publishing industry is going to change remarkably in the next couple of years. It already is. So I am doing my best with everything I can on the internet, all right? Everything. I have a website. Operators are standing by. www.sdcrashen.com. Connected to the website is the official Steve Crashen mailing list, so you can have never a lonely day on email again. You can get all the letters and all that stuff. And we now have a free journal. I think all journals should be free, open access. Okay. Ours is a foreign language teaching journal, International Journal of Foreign Language Teachers, teaching.com. The latest issue has just come out. We've been going for about 4 years. And our focus is on short, comprehensible papers that are easy access, the opposite of most academic publishing. I saw an ad last week for a new book. I won't mention the name of the company, Multilingual Matters. It's called Language and Poverty. It costs $140 hardcover, like $60 softcover. I tweeted immediately and I said, I wonder if the publishers are aware of the irony here. It's impossible to get access to this stuff. It's got to change. This is our little contribution to it. Anyway, the first area of research I want to briefly mention to you is reading in school, otherwise known as sustained silent reading, SSR. Some of us remember when it was called USSR, remember that? Truly, uninterrupted sustained silent reading. We don't need to do this anymore. Sustained silent reading, you take a few minutes out of the school day and the children read. They get to read whatever they want to read. So they can read Choose Your Own Adventure. They can read Archie. They can read Harry Potter, my hero, Gilderoy Lockhart. Oh, yeah, what a guy. Based my entire career on him. Okay. And the teacher gets to read whatever the teacher wants to read. Now, think about this. If you're a teacher and you do sustained silent reading, we've got to find out if this works. If you do sustained silent reading once a day with one class for 10 minutes, I have calculated that over a normal teaching career, this amounts to 3 months paid vacation.